Hello, beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. And yes, you know we have a guiding light that moves us ahead. We think to ourselves, all right, we want our life to be better. Well, I put into a few words a statement that's what I like to think of, what I like to pray to help guide me in bringing this show to you. It goes like this: Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives, so that we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes, that's what we're going for. Step by step, week by week, show by show, with things that are going to bring a blessing to your life, to help you move things ahead, to help you advance, reach more of your potential, solve problems. Oh, yes, that's our commitment. And as we get into the show, I want to invite you to take a moment and check out our sponsor. If you go to Advanced Living Comfort, ADVANCEDLIVING, Comfort, COMFORT.com, you are going to see a Clark Kent clock with superpowers. And what is that? It's a plug-in device that changes the energy, much like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. It protects you from the electromagnetic pollution and actually, like having a holy person there, raises the healing field of energy in a room. So go to advancedlivingcomfort.com and see how Harvard MD Eva Selhub, Chicken Soup for the Soul author Jack Canfield, the minister in California, Reverend Michael Beckwith, and so many others are being blessed by this and highly recommend it. Okay, now you're thinking, wow, what's one of our favorite words in the English language? Well, how about love? Okay, you say, yeah, right. Well, what about it? Well, our guest today is going to do some things, to share some things that are going to just take your ability to love and communicate love to levels that you had only hoped for. And this is going to begin so soon as you learn about a wonderful and mysterious woman, Elena E. And she is Czech and French background, has been in our country since childhood, studied a variety of healing disciplines, including Chinese energetic healing, parenting. She has a six-year-old son, relationship and communication coaching, cognitive behavior therapy, and more from the Orient, Feng Shui. And she's done this with esteemed teachers and masters like Dr. Cam Ewan, Dr. Pat Allen, Dr. Ava Cadell, Dr. Jane Major, Marie Diamond, and Marianne Williamson. And Elena has been in the entertainment world for many years as an actress, comedian, writer, and director. And she is the host of Elena E. In the Heart of Stars. It's a televised radio show which airs every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, where she interviews stars intimately about their journey in life, the biggest struggles they have faced, and how they overcame them. Well, let's invite in our wonderful guest, Elena E. Hi.
Hello, hello. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure. What an introduction.
Well, thank you.
I would love to meet Elena E. myself.
Yeah.
What a lovely introduction. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. You know, 'cause when it comes right down to it, at the very core essence, the word love has so much meaning, and it's so sought after, so confused, misunderstood, and you have done some things to help refine the art of what it is to love, and maybe you can just get us started with some simple things that describe love.
Well, love, the only way you know you love yourself or anyone else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep. So if you don't keep your word to yourself and to others, you're not loving yourself and others. So it's the commitments you're willing to make and keep. That's definition of love.
So is that like on a on a percentage basis? If it's at 20%
no.
or 50?
No, it's not on percentage basis. But if you promise something to someone and you don't keep your word, or mm-hmm. you don't follow up with them, that you change your mind, you're not really loving yourself and you're not loving the other person. It's the commitments and the agreements you're willing to make and keep. That's really love. And there's two ways of how people love. People either have love for themselves in their hearts, and then they are in love and balance, or people long for love outside of them, and that's where they get upset, they fight, they get angry. So we either love ourselves and we are in complete balance and harmony, or we long for love, and that's we might call maybe hallucination, where we actually not connected to our higher self and we long for love outside of the self.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Now, from your take on this, because I'm excited. This is thrilling to have this concept where oh my gosh, the heart, and it's so romantic, on and on. And what you've done in just a couple of minutes is helped us to reshape ways that we can check in about how much love is there in a particular situation. How much am I loving myself? Am I showing up for myself? How much am I loving this other person? My commitment, showing up, keeping my word. And what a simple way to be able to calibrate or to gauge, is there a lot of love? Is it on a consistent basis? Is it intermittent? But it's all about that place of integrity of keeping commitments.
Yes. And it's not just to others, to yourself too. If you don't take care of yourself, if you don't take enough rest, if you're not cherishing yourself and making yourself feel good, which is the only job you have on the planet, to wake up in the morning and choose to be happy. No one can make you happy. It is your job. It's your assignment. So if you're forgetting about yourself as well, then you don't have enough love for yourself, and you may be longing it from outside. So it all starts from inner love, yes.
Oh, wow. I can now see the Elena E. things to do today list. And number one is choose to be happy,
number
and then
one
the rest
is
of them.
Huh? Yeah. Well, number one, every day you can wake up, and we all have bad days and good days and challenges and problems, but you can wake up in the morning and say, I choose to be happy today, and these are the three things I'm going to do to get myself there. And every day, choose to do three little things that make you feel good. makes you feel better, getting your feelings. Because if you don't feel good, you can't do good. So you can go and try to save the whole world and make everybody else happy. But if you don't start by yourself to do three tiny little things every day for yourself, you're probably going to get drained and not be able to help everyone else the way you want to.
Right. Now, would you be willing to share some examples of little things that a person might quickly do to help enhance
this? It could be anything that makes you feel good, whether it's your favorite food, meditation, prayer, take a hot shower, listen to your favorite song in the car, dance in the shower, have a manicure, pedicure, massage, guys go play a soccer, anything that makes you feel good. And it could be for 1 minute, but as long as you do something that makes you feel good at least three times a day, and God forbid if you do it 10 times a day, that's wonderful, but at least three times a day, you will get yourself in alignment with love for yourself, and then you can share it with the rest of the world without being drained, and you can actually make a difference. So everything starts within you. The change is in you. It's not outside of you. So the more you work on yourself, the more you can make more people happy and share your love with them. It is hard to make someone more happy if you're very sad and brokenhearted and you're not happy yourself. So that's where the work starts, first with you.
So there's that old song in the spiritual community, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. And now we could add a verse, let there be happiness or joy on earth and let it begin with me.
Wow. Yes, and
I
then
like
share
that.
It with the rest of the world. Yes.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of problems. A lot of people are having struggles with relationships. Would you comment on what you think are the biggest problems in relationships today?
Well, the biggest problem in relationship is communication. That's the number one. And number two is the energy, because if you're in a relationship, there always needs to be one feminine energy and one masculine. If both people are feminine at the same time or both people are masculine at the same time, there is an issue because the intimacy in the relationship dies. So there's three ways of communicating. In communication, we intimidate with fear, seduce, or we communicate with love. So what I teach is communication with love. I'm okay, you okay, but this is what I want, how you feel about it, or what you think about it. So you come from a place, I'm okay, you okay, let's do something that's good for both of us, or if you don't want to do it, I'll do it my way, next time I'll do it your way. Just communicate. If there is no communication, the intimacy dies. And the second one is the energy, because if you're the feminine, you should always speak from your heart and from your feelings. If you're the masculine energy, you speak more from your logic and from your thinking. So if there is two people in a relationship that constantly go, I think, I want, it's two men at home. You kill the intimacy. If there is two energies that go, I feel, I don't want, you have two feminine energy at home and the intimacy dies. So if you want to be the feminine energy, you always tell to the masculine how you feel and what you don't want. And if you're the masculine energy, you tell the feminine energy what you think and what you want and ask them how they feel about it. It's very important, the communication of speaking from feminine and masculine. And that's the biggest problem today in relationship. We have too many equality communication, too masculine or too feminine, and it just kills the intimacy, and you either argue or you have two roommates at home.
Hmm. Oh, my.
Mm.
Now, is this the feminine and the masculine, is that something that would stay... one would keep as a particular role, or are those subject to change over time?
We all have both. In work, we are all masculine because we have to be very logical. But when you're done with work, if you're a woman and you want to be the feminine energy, you have to really speak more from your feelings and from what you don't want. Because women, when they tell what they want, the list is so long, nobody remembers. So if you are feminine energy, it's easier to say, this is what I don't want, and this is how I feel about it. If you're the masculine energy, you tell the person what you want and what you think. It's very important because if you have two different energies at home, it's very attractive and the intimacy grows. If it's two same energies, it kills the intimacy. It's like the clock stops. So that's the biggest problems in relationships. So I help people to learn how to speak from their feminine and how to speak from their masculine so they can pick the energy they want, and it doesn't matter what gender you are. And then based on that, if you want to be the masculine, you got to go from the feminine energy. If you want to be the feminine, you got to pick the masculine, because if you're equal, it's going to kill the intimacy. You're going to be your roommates.
Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so that's so important,
yeah.
And this is a way that you, people, when they like learn from you, and maybe this would be a good time to bring up your website, because there's a lot that you bring there. What is that website
Thank
for you,
you,
Elena?
My website is Elena E. It's ELENAE. .com, ElenaE.com. It's very simple. ElenaE.com.
Great. Okay.
And you
so that way they
all
can...
the information. Yeah, and I'm about to finish two books. One is for the feminine energy, and one is for the masculine. So it's going to be called Yin and Yang. So if you want to learn how to be feminine and how to speak feminine, you can learn everything from the book. And I have one for masculine energy. So it's very helpful, the tools.
Mm, and they'll be coming out, sometime this year?
This year, by the end of the year. It's going to be Yin and Yang by
okay.
Elena E.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, this because this is something exciting. I hadn't had it put forward in such a simplified way.
Right?
People to be able
very
to,
simple.
Yeah, to teach, and it's just to pay attention so and to know... like you said, that it's so important to keep those roles separate so that there can be an attraction mm-hmm. and intimacy.
Yes, yes. Because when, for instance, a feminine energy finished working and was masculine and work and bring that masculine energy at home, right away it creates conflicts because there is two male energy at home. So it's very important for ladies and people who are feminine to leave their masculine at work, desensitize, do at least one thing that makes them feel good before they get home so they could get back into their feminine.
Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This is excellent. Now, I'm just wondering, are there anything additional you've mentioned that we have to be aware of, how to be in the feminine energy if we're a woman, masculine energy if we're a man?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other things that you would consider must if you want to be in a loving relationship?
Yeah, I always say don't commit to the person but to the relationship with the person, because
oh.
you want to see that. Because people commit to the person yet they are not compatible, and then they're wondering why the relationship doesn't work. So I always tell people, look for three things that are must in the relationship. Please, if you have 70 things on the list, you must date 35 people. It's too much. You have to really just pick three things and stick to it. Don't look for, you know, for dating some saint. You just have to date someone that has the three things that you're looking for. Usually it's the chemistry, because without chemistry, there is no relationship. Communication with love and being compatible. And in being compatible, everyone can pick three things that are the most important for them in relationship. For men, usually they want to be respected for their thinking. Women want to be more cherished for their feelings. Then most of the time it's the monogamy, someone who wants to be in committed relationship or going towards marriage. And then the third one is different for everyone. Some man wants to have a woman with great heart, another one woman that's a great cook. You know, everybody has their own list. But pick three things. If you pick 10, it's too many. You're just going to wait for Santa Claus. It's not going to happen. So really narrow the list to three things that are very, very important to you. So it's chemistry, communication with love, and being compatible. And pick three things.
Okay. Well, that'll simplify it a bit. And the chemistry is something that is usually pretty easy to tell right away, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, for women, it's not always as quick as for men, because women have to see if they feel good. You can have chemistry with someone right away as a man, because men are more hunters and they know exactly, but women have to feel safe and then they open their heart and feel more chemistry. So for women, sometimes it takes 3 dates to know if there is chemistry or not.
Ah.
So I always recommend to give every gentleman 3 dates before you close the doors to know if there is chemistry or not, because we have to feel good first in order to do good. So give every gentleman 3 days to desensitize and then decide if there is chemistry or not for feminine energy, definitely.
Okay. Oh, this is great. That really helps. And like you say, simplify the list, because I've been around some people, and when they were putting out to the universe the qualities of the person they wanted to be with, it was like 5 pages long.
Yeah, well, then they might date more than one person, because it will be really hard.
Yeah.
So it's to be more specific. Of course, if they have more than the 3 things, how wonderful is that? But you have to put 3 things that you would never be in relationship without. So let's say if you are spiritual and the other person is atheist, it might be hard for you. So you have to be with someone who is spiritual. If you're cherishing as a man and you want your woman to respect you, I want a woman that's respectful. So what if you're vegan? Maybe you want to date someone who is vegan. Whatever it is for you. But you have to be specific. Really pick 3 things. Don't pick 10 or 15 or you're going to be single for a long time.
This is very helpful. And I'm just wondering, as people get into a relationship and they're spending time with each other, what could folks do, some of the steps to enhance intimacy when they're in a place where they're dating and they say, okay, we're liking each other, what do we, you know, we want to move this ahead?
Well, the first thing is complementary communication enhance intimacy. So the more compliments you give each other, the more possibility for the intimacy to grow. So it's not really focused on the negative in the person. I call it the rules of three. Every time you think negative about the person, release it and find the 3 things you love about them. And really enhance complementary communication. Because when you compliment each other, you feel better about yourself, about the other person, and you have more opportunity to grow or be more intimate. So compliments really, really help.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's
people forget.
Yes. And when there's compliments, I'm curious, because apparently someone may offer a compliment to someone that they're dating, and there seems to be different styles of receiving compliments, where some may acknowledge it more, or some just take it in and don't acknowledge it. What do you do with those kind of situations?
Well, there's something that's called conversational rape. Sometimes people give you compliments, but the compliment is not quite a compliment. There's like a little rape at the end. They tell your hair looks good. There is something that's called conversational rape that people use a lot of time. Let me explain you. Like someone gives you a compliment, tells you your hair looks good today, which means it looks good, but it never looked good before. So
yeah.
We have to be careful not to rape each other with words and compliments.
Oh,
I don't
my.
Want you to talk conversational rape where you give compliment, but you have to give little hints at the end, just a tiny little bit to rape the person. It's really loving compliments. And when you give, not to have expectation to receive. You either give before because you feel like it or don't give at all. So we don't give with expectation and assumption. We give because we feel like it, because we want to.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it's very important to stay out of expectation and assumption in relationship. You can create a plan before you enter in relationship and know that you have chemistry, you communicate with love, and you're compatible, and create a little plan towards future. But then you have to stay out of expectation and assumption. And one thing, women always feel that men can read their mind. No, they can't. You really have to communicate. So it's very important to communicate with your partner. And one thing that's also very important is not to communicate without permission. If there's anything you want to discuss that hurt your feelings as a woman or that the man felt that they were disrespected, they need to talk about it the same day. Because if you sleep on it, what your mind and mouth doesn't say, your body will show it. It will be toxic and you're going to tolerate it and it's going to get worse the next day or it's going to make you sick. So always talk about anything that happened that day with your partner before you go to bed. But ask for permission. It's like you're knocking on the door. Honey, there is something sensitive I want to talk to you about. When today are you willing to hear me? You don't just walk into someone's space and start to throw at them and nagging at them any idea that's in your head. Like, mm-hmm. honey, I want to talk to you. Is this a good time? Or when today are you willing to hear me? Always make appointments. Very important in relationships. Mm-hmm. So you respect or cherish the other person's space.
Ah, well, this is good. And then let's say people have been together and oftentimes there's some damage that takes place. And I'm just wondering, how can mm-hmm. you tell if something can be rebuilt or is it just a waste of time? What do you do in those situations?
No. The more you change yourself, the more the other person changes too. So it's to have positive thinking. If something bothers you, make an appointment with your partner, talk about it, discuss it. And once you find a solution to it, please let it go. Don't bring the same issue over and over and over in relationship and tell your partner always, never, again, all the time. No one does something always or never or again and all the time. Maybe often, sometimes. So the whole goal is talk about the issue or the problem the same day. Let it go. You either accept the person as they are or reject them with love and respect. Do not tolerate. Tolerating is toxic. So everybody has the opportunity to change if they want to. The more you work on yourself, the more positive you are, the better the relationship. Do your half and hope to God they do theirs. You don't have to do 100% in a relationship unless it's a child or someone who is ill. So do your half. If you're feminine energy, be respectful, be loving, express your feelings. Communicate with the other person what would feel better. If you're the man, tell your woman what you want, what you think, and how she feels about it, and what can you do to help her feel better. Do your half, but don't do everything because you can't do the other half of the person. It's their commitment. It's their love. So as long as you keep your own commitments and you love yourself, then you can be open to receive it from the other person or not. You can't change anyone. You can only change yourself. So I always say, don't point your finger at other people, what's wrong with them. See what you can change about yourself. Even if 99% of the things they do you find wrong, there is 1% that you can change about yourself. And that's what I always focus on, not on the external, but the internal. What can I change in this situation? How can I better myself?
Mm. And so when people come to you, and you're discussing their life or relationships with them, mm-hmm. how do you bring all these different tools that you have?
Well, I first ask them what kind of type of relationship would they like to be in, because there's three styles of relationship. The first one is convenient. It's where both people chip in. They pay approximately equally the bills, but one has to be the feminine energy and one masculine. A lot of people are in convenient relationship, nothing wrong with that. But always careful about languaging. Just because you pay equally, it doesn't give the feminine energy right to come home and control and be the man. She still has to be feminine. The second relationship is codependent. Codependent is, you know, exciting. There is a lot of chemistry. There is usually no communication with love. One person is 10 and the other one is 0, and it goes back and forth. They're very exciting, but someone might end up getting killed because it's not very healthy. The third one is covenant. Covenant is when one person is breadwinner and the other one homemaker. They both work, but the breadwinner provides and works full-time, and the homemaker is more home, works when he feels or she feels like it, and usually takes care of the kids. So a lot of people go from covenant to convenient when they have children and back and forth. So the first thing I want to know, what style of relationship are you in now, and which one do you want to be in? Because that helps.
Yeah.
And the second thing is I ask them if they want to be more respected or more cherished or both. If you want to be more respected, you are the masculine energy for your thinking. If you want to be more cherished for your feelings, it's the feminine energy. If you want to be both, nothing wrong with that at the same time, but it's narcissistic and it's better to date two people. So you got to pick. Do you want to be the feminine? Do you want to be masculine? Because if men are respected, they feel good. When women are cherished for their feelings, they feel respected. But when you want both, we have a problem. So it's not possible to find a person that can give you both, because then the person becomes zero. It's all about the other person. Their feelings have to be cherished. They have to be respected. And there is no space for the person, for the second person. So those are the two most important things. Pick the energy you want and what style of relationship you want to be in. And then based on that, I help them with the communication tools. I help them with agreements, where they want to go, time, space, money, play. And we negotiate a little contract, and I record it for them on CD. And they can go and try to date each other or be in a relationship for 2 months. And if something changes, call me back and renegotiate. So the first year, it's like every 2 months. The second year, twice a year. Third year, once a year. And people go and build. And it really helps them, because people build businesses and have plans, but a lot of people enter in relationship and have no plan whatsoever, and they think somehow magically it's going to work out. It's really hard without communicating what you want and what you don't want. So to have more clarity, it really, really helps.
And this is interesting. I'm just trying to think, when you, those steps that you mentioned, when a couple would come to you for, that there's a new couple in a relationship and you're helping them to make some agreements and put some of these things down on paper. Now that on the surface, I'm just thinking, wouldn't sound very romantic.
It doesn't sound romantic, but this is the problem. If you have no plan, it creates chaos. If you have a little plan, you could be spontaneous because you have something to build on. You build on rocks. So I always cherish their feelings in the session. I hear them, where they come from, and the emotions. And once we go through all of it, we create the little plan that is good for both of them. They make the agreements. They negotiate what feels right for both of them. Make little agreements, and they go try it and see if it works out. If something needs to be changed, they can change it between themselves or come back to me. But if you have no plan whatsoever and you just build a whole relationship on chemistry, it's probably going to be codependent, because one person is going to get everything and the other one is going to be, you know, receiving everything. So it's better to have a little tiny plan, just like if you go on vacation and you have a little plan, it gives you more spontaneity to do things. And I'm not saying that there couldn't be magical relationship, that people meet each other and it works out. But the plan really helps it.
Mm.
So small little plan helps you to have the spontaneity. If you have no plan, it's chaos. I mean, imagine you build a business and you have no business plan. It's going to be a lot of chaos. Well, relationship is the same thing, and people take it for granted. If you have tiny little tools, how to be more feminine, how to be more masculine, what relationship you're looking for, and what three qualities you're looking for in a man or woman, not 100, three, just three, it will make you help to be more clear what you want in your life and avoid being in toxic relationships that are not right for you or the other person.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that if they would teach this in school, it would really help a lot of people to be in more healthy relationships.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to mm-hmm. and now currently, some of these things that you've been listing, I don't know if you if they'll be put in books or if they're available through you somehow already. How are people going to get their hands on some of this kind of advice that you've been mentioning?
Well, I do seminars. I do televised radio show where they can learn a lot. Also on my website. I will have a very soon apps, applications on my website that they can download and buy on apps and CDs, which I'm about to finish, plus the two books, The Yin and Yang, which will help them to either learn the feminine or the masculine. So all of these things will be on my website by the end of the year, and the recordings probably in the next 2 months. So people can really learn the basic, and it will really help them in relationship and the clarity in relationship. And also it will help them in relationship with themselves. There's a lot of exercises I help people to give so they can do little things to make themselves feel better and heal better. Because if you're in relationship with yourself at 10, the chances are you're going to attract healthier relationship too. But if you're at 2, the chances are you're going to settle for 2. So the more you work on yourself and the more you love yourself, the more you can also attract more healthy people in your life.
Sure.
So everything starts from within you. Yes. I always focus on people. Like, I can have a couple coming together, but then I want to them to focus on themselves as well. It's very important.
Ah, yes. Okay, well, that's important. So, I mean, like if there's a couple in there wanting some couples counseling, would you start with them as a couple or would you start with them perhaps as individuals?
No, I would. It's various. It doesn't matter at all, whatever order it is. If they come together, I do a couple session, and then we figure out where we at. And during the couple session, I will already see things that they might be willing to work on themselves to better themselves and where is the issues coming from. And a lot of times, girls are locked the way their father raised them or didn't raise them if they were absent, and boys are more like the mother. So, you know, we sometimes have to see what happened in childhood and how can we better certain things and which qualities we keep and what things work and which one they want to change. Because we all, as a children, get built into the box of what we hear in the surroundings around us. And by age 14, 95% the way we behave to the world is what we saw outside. So I help them to break the box and really be who they want to be, not what they were always taught to be. And the qualities that are good for them, we keep. And the things they want to change, we change. So they could be really themselves without fears and anxiety and blockages and being scared. For being really more loving and courageous and embracing who they are and their talents and their gifts. So I help them to destroy the box and be who they always wanted to be.
Hmm. Ah, okay.
Yes.
So that helps.
Yeah.
I thought about, that's a way to catch it, that we actually got put into a box through our early life experiences. And if that's not good,
yeah,
then we got to get out of the box.
Yeah, and there are certain things in the box that might be wonderful, and you definitely want to keep them. But there are certain things that might not be as helpful for you, so we get rid of them. Whatever feels right for you, I'm always open to the journey. But it's fun because little children are so spontaneous. They know how to say no. They love themselves. They love everyone unconditionally. They don't judge anyone, and then life happens, and we change. So I help people to become back little children with the knowledge of today without being judgmental, without not knowing how to say no when it doesn't feel good, and be unconditional loving towards everyone else, but have a boundary. Because if you don't have boundaries in life, then you will be taken advantage of. So for women and for men, the most important word is to know how to say no when it really doesn't feel good. And we don't know sometimes how to say no, and then we get ourselves in the situation and we say they took advantage of us. But you know what? You didn't have a boundaries. It didn't feel good, and you said yes. So I really help people how to say no when it doesn't feel good.
Okay. Well, that's that really helps a lot. And then and then you have some tools if there's some things when they look through their box of early life experiences and some of them are getting in the way. You use some different tools to help them to release those or to create new approaches?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always go through something that's called the life script and the fear script. I break down their life, what happened during their life. We do the life script and we do the fear script and we release all the fear programs and the programs in the life script that don't really serve them. And the ones that are good, we definitely want to keep. And once you do that, you pretty much already put the person in a good track in their life. And the nice thing is a lot of times I don't have to even tell them anything. During the life script and the fear script, they figure it out themselves, which is really wonderful. They just sometimes never been asked the right questions and don't know that those things were there. And once you get them out, it really, really helped them. And it's a wonderful journey.
Wow. That is,
And it doesn't take long. It can take 2-3 hours, and all of a sudden you realize all the things that don't serve you in life and the ones that are wonderful and which one you want to choose, who you want to use. So it's very helpful.
Yeah, that sounds definitely sounds like a better approach, because it seems like people have issues or room for improvement in their lives, and some of the processes people can be in therapy for a year, 5 years, 10 years, and they may be feeling a little better.
Oh,
but,
no.
And it's just interesting to hear you talk about in terms of, well, you know, a few hours, and we should really be on track.
Yeah, that's the whole goal. I don't want people to sit with me every week for hours and hours for the next 10 years. I want them to, in 2-3 months, 6 months maximum, run around and do everything they always wanted to do and be happily in the relationship they always wanted to be in with themselves and with others, romantic, work-wise, family, everyone else. So I really help people not to dwell on the negative feeling, but to hear them, to cherish that feeling, but to help them to change with action or positive inaction. It's not, because feelings are not negotiable. You can talk about the same feeling for next 20 years and nothing will change, or you can start to take positive actions and change it. So I really help people to take positive actions and change the negative feelings into positive. So every day it's all about actions and how to make yourself better and better. And we all make mistakes, but you only learn from mistakes. So it's not to beat yourself up, love yourself, and be every day better and better.
Wow. Now, you have positioned yourself, Elena, in such a unique way. I'm wondering what brought you to this all of this work and these expert skills and just this wonderful loving presence that you bring forth.
I have a feeling that we all go through life and we all have issues with our own families or friends or relationships, and you want to figure out in life how can you better yourself. So I start to study different modalities and things, and one thing that really, really helped me to grow as a human and have compassion and really, really work on myself to change as a human being was my son. Because there's nothing more beautiful than having a child and go to the unconditional love. And when you feel that, you really want to see how you can share it with the rest of the world, because that's who we truly are and that's what we meant to do. But you can still have boundaries. You can love someone with all your heart. If they're too toxic, you don't have to hang around them. Because if you try to change a toxic person and you want to lift them up out of that toxic hole and they're not ready for it, you're going to go down in 1 minute. They weigh 1,000 pounds and you weigh 100. So the darkness goes after the light, but the light doesn't go after the darkness. So I teach people how to hold their light and share it with the world. And whoever asks for help or is willing to be open to receive the light, please give it to them. But don't pull toxic people out of the hole and think that they're going to go to light. You're going to go down in 1 minute. So love them, send them love, but hold your light and share it with the world, because you are the change of the world. But people have to be willing to change as well. You can't change anyone unless you change yourself.
Mm.
So shine your light. Yeah.
And then through some of the techniques, when you say shine your light, if someone isn't feeling mm-hmm. like this love within themselves, you have methods. I don't know if you'd want to take a moment, perhaps, and talk about some of the
sure.
specialized tools that you use.
Well, I do three. I always focus on three things. I focus on the earth lock. Earth lock is the love in your house, in the environment where you live, in your office, in your garden, wherever you spend a lot of time. So it's really important that you have a good energy where you live, because a lot of time relationship can be affected just by having one personal line in your space and you personally separate it from yourself or everyone else and you argue and you don't even know why, because you have a personal line in your house and it takes 1 minute to get rhythm of the personal line, but it really affects your relationship. Also, the energy in the house. You know, you have to make sure that your house is house or feng shui, or that you have a good energy at home, because if you have underground water running under your house or cracks or holes, all that energy affects your health, your well-being, your mental state, your creativity. So I always focus, make sure that your earth lock at home or the environment has a good energy, because it affects 33% of your human luck. If the energy in your house is not good, or the bed you sleep in doesn't have a good energy, you will be cranky all day and less creative, and it will affect your relationship with yourself and others. It's really important that people pay more attention to the energy in the house and make the places make them feel good, or their office. So that's the first thing. That's the love at home, the earth luck. The second one is the human luck. You know, coaching, law of attraction, positive thinking, change your thoughts, you can do therapy, very important. The third one is the heavenly luck. Connect to your higher self, universe, law of attraction, meditation, prayer, whatever it is that connects you to your higher self. Now, if you want to be successful in the world, you need to be connected to the universe. You don't always, some people are not conscious or they are not highly spiritual, but just because they connected and they believe and they connected to the universe, they can be successful. So it's very important that you connect yourself to the universe. If you're spiritual and higher level, fantastic. But the connection to the universe is very, very important. But if you're not connected to your higher self and you don't have a good energy at home, you're going to keep hitting the same wall over and over in work, relationships, success, creativity. Because your higher self and the energy at home is really the most important. Once those two are balanced, the human life just follows. So it's really, really important.
Mm.
So I combine all three. Love at home, love in your human life and relationship, and love connect to the universe, to the heavens, to the universe, to your higher self, to spirit, to God, whatever you want to call it. I'm very spiritual, non-judgmental, but as long as you connect it, you will make bigger things in life and have bigger opportunities.
Uh-huh.
So I heal all three, and it doesn't matter what order you want to start in, but the most important is either start with the environment where you live or with your highest self. Because if you only work on the human lack and those two are not connected, it will be really hard for you to grow. You're just going to do the same thing over and over and over.
And so this plot that you talk about, is that part of feng shui or...?
I do dowsing and feng shui, and dowsing is older than feng shui. Dowsing is 7,000 years old. It started in Egypt. All the pharaohs, all the pyramids were built on positive areas.
Hmm.
All the old churches and temples were built on positive areas. And today we build everywhere. And there's so many lines. There's cracks in the air. There's underground water. We live on hills. There's mudslides, electricity lines, satellite lines. And all these lines affect the way we feel. Pain in the body, health-wise, focus, A lot of children are becoming autistic because they sleep in geopathic stress lines or negative vortex. And if you look on my website, it will tell you more information. And once you douse your place, it's pretty much permanent. It's not like feng shui that you need to change every day. Unless there is a big earthquake, not many lines changes. So it's important that the energy in your house is good, because in the old days, if they build a castle or church or temple, they would douse where is a good energy to build it. Today we build everywhere. So it's really important that people pay more attention to the energy in their houses. That's how they get sick. People don't know, how is it possible I live in this expensive mansion and I got myself cancer? Well, it could be from the energy too. It's not just emotional always of what you eat. It could be the energy in the house.
Wow. See, this is something that more people have heard of feng shui, as some famous people like Donald Trump and others, that big business individuals are using it. But the dowsing.
I do feng shui, but the dowsing is very good for the health. It's feng shui is fantastic, and I love it, and it helps health-wise too. But feng shui doesn't always cure the negative lines. It just moves the furniture around to move you away from those lines. And sometimes you live in your space, and you know you can't be away from it because it's there. But the dowsing cures it permanently. So it's very, very interesting method that's been used for 7,000 years. Yeah.
Wow.
That's very famous in Europe. Yeah. So I would recommend that people focus on more dowsing and feng shui in their houses. It will make a difference in their life.
And the dowsing, if someone wanted to turn to you for help, you don't have to go to their house, do you? Can you
I don't have to. They could draw me the plan of their house. And I could send them. You have to place in certain places little rods. It's almost like spaghetti, copper rods, and they have to be placed in exact places, and you can't remove them to block the energy. Some rods you can put outside, some have to be inside. But if someone draws me a plan of their house, I could tell them exactly where to put it and ship it to them. We could do via Skype placing if they live on the other side of the world where to put it.
Ah.
And you just leave it there. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. And then again, your website is?
ElenaE.com. ElenaE.com. ElenaE.com.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is excellent. And we've got a couple of minutes as we wrap up. I'd like to turn this over to you, Elena, to share anything you'd want, other of your work coming up or thing, advice that you'd have, or just anything. So would you please share with us?
Okay, so if I'm going to repeat the little tools for the relationship so you can remember. So if you're the masculine energy, always ask your feminine energy or the woman that you're dating how she feels, or the person, how the person feels, and what they don't want. And what can you do to make them feel better? If you're the feminine energy, always ask the masculine what they think, what they want, and what can you do to help them do better? It's all about the doing. So that will really, really help you in relationships. And there is basically four style of men and four style of women. Nothing wrong with them. But the first style is Peter Pan. Peter Pan is a little boy that hasn't grown up through his Fisher King wound to become a man yet. They like to be cherished and respected at the same time. They like a little mama's boy, or they are too castrated because their mother does everything for them. So Peter Pan likes to date a woman that her father owns a Fox Studios and makes a lot of money. They are very much into intimacy, but not always into working.
Peter Pan goes very well with Wendy. Are these things, some of these on your website? I'm realizing we've just got about a minute left, and you're getting into four styles, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, she's got to come back on the show. This is so good.
Yeah, so there is four style of men and four style of women, and you can read it all on my website and figure out which one would you like to be.
Okay.
And you can also learn how to get over if someone is a Peter Pan, how to become a real man, or if someone is a Wendy. And Wendy is a woman that's overgiving, over-nurturing, over-cherishing, and nurturing and cherishing is masculine, and she doesn't take care of herself. She takes care of everyone else, and then she gets pissed and frustrated and loses it and becomes masculine, and no one knows why. So there's a wonderful book called The Wendy Dilemma, where you learn how to love yourself and share your love instead of draining yourself and overgiving before you start to love yourself and become a real woman. So
Diana,
it's very helpful for some women.
I can't wait. Folks, just go to Elena, ELENAE.com. You are in for a treat. And, oh, my gosh, I wish we had more time. Elena, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Well, we appreciate that.
And I hope to speak to you soon again.
I look forward to that. Until we speak again, Elena, my beloved listeners, God bless, and goodbye for now. Let go.